This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm not going to lie to you, I'm very defensive today. Not defensive about myself, I'm defensive about an individual. And we'll get to it to start the show. How are we all doing? It's like a summer Tuesday. It's April 22nd. It's beautiful. The Mets never lose. Cherish it, because that could end at any moment. And we'll get you set for the Yankee game later today, the Met game later today. But let me just start off with this about the Knicks. After you lose a playoff game, we all try to blame people. We all try to say, oh, it's this guy's fault. It's that guy's fault. It's this guy's fault. And quite frankly, there are many reasons why the Knicks lost last night to the Detroit Pistons. Mm-hmm. But I got to start with who I'm not blaming. And I'm getting sick and tired of hearing the blame fall at the feet of Jalen Brunson. Mm. It is not on Jalen Brunson. Let me remind everybody who watched this game last night. Was Mikal Bridges not wide open and hit a game-tying three?
He was.
Was Josh Hart not set up perfectly for a dunk that I think at that point tied the game up?
He was.
Did Jalen Brunson not, and don't take this as a shot, did Jalen Brunson not very smartly work the whistle in the final 5 minutes, drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line?
Yeah.
Now, he missed a big free throw.
Yeah.
That happens.
Maybe should have done that earlier in the game. Well, they had no free throws in the first quarter.
That's a different story. But the idea that he's morphed into Melo, the idea that it's all about him is not fair. What about his teammates?
Yeah.
He's the only shot creator on this freaking team.
Yeah, I don't think it's on Jalen Brunson fully. I understand why people, if you just watch the second half of this thing going down the stretch, why it feels like Jalen Brunson was a big part of the problem, because he was refusing to kick it out to open OG or kick it out to an open cat and let them take an uncontested, what seemed to be, three-pointer. He was just trying to do it all himself. But the way that some of his teammates were playing in this game, you almost don't blame him for having to or thinking that he needed to do it all himself. To me, this is really on head coach Tom Thibodeau. He just is so stuck in his ways. He's so focused on, let Josh Hart be Josh Hart. He'll figure it out. Let when things get rough, let's just let Jalen Brunson go figure it out. They just weren't smart about trying to defeat this Pistons team, which had a Cade Cunningham advantage, a free throw advantage. The refs were clearly on their side, because what was it, 12-0 at some point? At one point in this game, early in the first half. And then most importantly, the guys who they brought in to be difference makers just weren't, right? Cat and Mikal Bridges weren't. And that you're not going to win games. I don't care who you're playing in the postseason if that's the case.
So let's talk about those two guys, because I agree with you. If we're going to talk about why the Knicks are tied 1-1 with the Detroit Pistons, why the Knicks fan woke up on a Tuesday morning worried that they could somehow lose this series to the Pistons, let's address the why.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Anthony Towns. And I found myself in the fourth quarter. I had to rewatch the fourth quarter. I had to, because I needed to see what was this stiff doing in the fourth quarter of this game.
Why he had no shots?
I want to know why. Yeah, because it's easy to know he didn't take any shots in the fourth quarter. That's easy. You can all see it on a box score. But I found myself, when I rewatched the fourth quarter, I want to stare at him, and I want to find out what he's actually doing. And the answer is standing in the corner doing nothing.
Yep.
Like, forget about how
but
he
don't
took...
you think he was told to do that?
Well, I think a part of that's on Tom Thibodeau.
Yes.
Like, I agree. Like, you want to expand on who to blame for this loss? Tom Thibodeau is a big part of it, and you just scratched the surface with some of the criticisms of Tom, and we'll get into him. But with Karl Anthony Towns, and I brought this up too a few months ago, I said my only issue with Kat is it seems like in the fourth quarter he disappears.
You did.
Did I not bring this up two months ago to
but
you?
But now I'm almost feeling like that was, it's intentional. It's we want Jalen Brunson to do everything for us. He's going to create. Go stand in the corner. He'll find you. Trust me. But then Jalen Brunson's like, none of these guys are doing jack. I got to do it myself.
But part of what makes Kat so dangerous is that he can beat you in the post.
Of course.
Can't you have a few post-ups for Karl Anthony Towns? In fact, I calculated the fourth quarter. He got the ball in his hands once in the post, saw a double, and immediately kicked it out. Eventually, it ended up on an OG Anunoby contested shot that actually went down. This was about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Forget about shots. That was one of the only times he literally touched the basketball.
Right.
Him standing in the corner is a problem. And we could sit here and blame Kat, we could blame Tibbs, or we could just give the real answer, which is I blame both of them. Like, either way, this guy's making way too much money. He's way too talented. That's the other thing for him to be useless. And I'll tell you another thing. If he's going to be useless and he's not going to touch the ball offensively in the fourth quarter, why play him?
Right.
He's a defensive liability. He can't rebound. And you're willing to put up with that stuff when you score. You're willing to put up with stuff like that when you're an offensive force. When you are standing in the corner and the ball never finds you, why are you here?
So who's telling that to him? Is it Jalen Brunson? Is it Tom Thibodeau? Who's telling Kat that he can't go a fourth quarter, a second half, as inept as he did? You guys remember back in the early LeBron, Kyrie Irving days in Cleveland? And there was a postseason game where Kyrie had no assists, right? He took, I forgot how many shots he took, 20-something shots and no assist. And LeBron James went right up to him right after that game and said, you will never have a game where you don't have an assist, right? He got him right there, right? Immediately told him, this is unacceptable. We will not win if you play that way. Somebody needs to do that with Karl Anthony Towns. There cannot be a fourth quarter where you don't take a shot. I mean, his last shot came in, what, 5 minutes ago in the third quarter?
And, Teak, it's not just not taking a shot. The ball never found him.
Yeah.
How many times did he touch the basketball in the fourth quarter?
And as much as I want to put this on the coach and Tibbs running, I don't know, pick and rolls with Brunson and Josh Hart for some damn reason, not that that's going to create anything, I almost feel like Karl Anthony Towns needs to take the initiative and say, give me the damn ball.
I think that's a huge point, and I think that's a part of it. That's why when you say, who do we blame for this? Because we're all going to agree Karl Anthony Towns can't be useless offensively in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Cannot happen. Okay, let's take a shade back now. Who are we blaming for this? A lot of it is on the head coach. The buck stops with the head coach. If you want to put some of it at the feet of Jalen Brunson as the orchestrator of this offense, he's not immune to criticism. I'm okay with that, Teak.
Right.
But the idea that this is on him and he's playing hero ball and he's mellow and he's a selfish bastard, I think that is completely overblown, especially when you look at the final few possessions of the fourth quarter of this game. He was getting his teammates involved. Can his teammates make a shot? Led by Mikal Bridges, and no, I'm not trying to take shots at him because I got something personal against him. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is, he missed open shots, and you know it. As far as Kat's concerned, you're right. He has a chance if he wants to man the hell up and demand the basketball down low. We saw him in the post one time in the fourth quarter of this game, and smartly, when he saw a double, he kicked it out. Like, that can't happen. That is broken. Karl Anthony Towns is useless if he's not an offensive force.
Right.
Because that's the other thing I'm thinking about. Every minute that went by, and I'm rewatching this, I'm thinking, why isn't Mitch out there then? Because you know what Mitchell Robinson can do that Kat can't do? First of all, defend everybody. And number two, grab an offensive rebound.
Right.
That's a weapon. That's allowed.
Necessary one, too.
Yes. So the thing that boggled my mind with Kat is if he's not going to show any gumption offensively, if he's going to be a non-factor offensively, wheel his ass out off the court then. Why is he out there?
Right.
That's number two or number three. I don't even know what we're up to. Now let's get to Bridges. I don't think Mikal Bridges was terrible until the fourth quarter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Order. I don't. I thought he defended reasonably well.
Yep.
He made shots. He was fine. Mm-hmm. This was his moment. This was his chance to stick it to all nine of us. This was his chance for Tommy to obnoxiously go on Twitter and retweet me from 2 years ago saying, appreciating the awesomeness of Mikal Bridges. And quite frankly, he choked.
Mm-hmm.
Because those looks that he had right in the final few minutes were right there for him.
Wide
and it would
open
have changed everything.
Wide ass open.
And why was he wide open? Because there's one facilitator on offense who, even though he's being name-called over the last 12 hours,
mm-hmm,
actually put his teammates in a position to succeed, but they failed. He didn't fail. They failed. And I guess heavy comes the crown, right? When you're going to be king, you're going to face more criticism than others. But the idea that Jalen Brunson got selfish, I don't see it, especially in the last 4 minutes of this game.
I almost feel for Mikal Bridges at this point, though, because he's not being judged on the player he actually is. He's being judged on what was given up to get him. And it's not fair to him because we know that he's not on Jalen Brunson's level. He's not one of the elite players in the NBA. He hasn't been asked to go be a savior, that hero in the clutch moments of basketball games. This is not who he is. But we expect him to be that because of what was given up for him. And so, like, that sunk cost is sitting at the front of people's minds. So as soon as he misses that shot, you knew it was coming. Oh, they gave up five first-rounders for that guy? And so that criticism just sits, and it's going to fester until something miraculous or game-winning or game-changing happens with him. And it might not ever happen.
But, you know, the five first-round picks thing, I'm never going to bring this up again, even though I have every right to as a fan of the team that got the five firsts.
You should be happy for this.
Well, no, listen, selfishly, am I happy? Right,
yes.
Now I'm being an IBO. I'm being the best I can as an IBO. Am I happy? Of course I'm happy. What the hell kind of question is that? I mean, I lost a few dollars last night because once it got to plus 630, Knicks down by 13 in the fourth quarter. Was I betting? Sure. But Mikal Bridges, when that trade was first made, I remember having this discussion. It doesn't matter if he's worth five first-round picks in terms of star level. Mm-hmm. It matters is if he can make winning plays.
Yes.
What matters is can he contribute to winning? And at the end of the day, all that matters to Knicks fans, rightfully so, is not, hey, was it worth it pick-wise for the talent of the player? It's, is that player going to make winning plays and help me win? In the fourth quarter of this game, he wasn't asked to be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't asked to be the guy worthy of five first-round picks.
This is true.
He was asked to make an open shot, and he didn't. So this, to me, isn't about how many picks it costs or how great he is. Jalen Brunson, and I guess that's why I'm bothered by some of the criticism that's at the feet of Jalen Brunson. He's the one that got Mikal Bridges an open look to tie the game.
Yeah.
Who got him the open look?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things to point to with this game, in this game, and why they lost. You know, Cade Cunningham defending him being one of them, because he took his time torching everybody in the first quarter,
mm-hmm,
first half of this game. And so there's so much to go around. The question is this an anomaly, or is this something that we've seen, been worried of, been scared of, showing its face at the worst time? And I think it's the latter.
Why are the Knicks?
I don't think this is a one-off problem that they're facing because of whatever, the hustle, the toughness, whatever you want to call it, about the Detroit Pistons.
But I'd actually argue this. Why did the Knicks win 51 games? If you look back and you try to very succinctly, mm-hmm, define their success. Tommy, dudes and dogs, why'd they win 51 games?
Because they have really, 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 really good talent. Their starting five is as good as any starting five in the NBA.
They have really good scorers.
Bingo. Yes. And that's kind of what I was alluding to. Mm-hmm. They can score.
Yes.
They've got a really good, efficient offense, especially from the starting five that you talked
but
about.
But it felt disjointed yesterday.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you. But during the regular season, this was as efficient as an offense mm-hmm. and a machine as you'll see. And what we saw last night, especially in the fourth quarter, but even throughout the game, because remember, after three quarters, Ian said this on the broadcast, and I'm sure a lot of you guys were watching MSG. That's totally fine. I'm an Ian guy, so I was on TNT. He pointed out that the Knicks were held to their fewest point total for three quarters of any game they played this season.
Yeah.
So obviously this offense is partially broken. And you got to ask yourself, is it something J.B. Bickerstaff and the Detroit Pistons are doing? Is it the way this is officiated? Is it the toughness of the Pistons? What the hell is it? But they're better than this. Like, let's be honest, they played eight quarters. They've been the worst team in seven of the eight quarters.
Yeah.
And that's tough to explain.
I agree.
Because the Knicks are clearly a better team. They should win this series. I still think they will, if you ask me. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm taking crap. I dropped off my son at school today. You know what the teacher said to me?
What?
Spence is wonderful, but I got an issue with Spence's dad. And I said, excuse me, what the hell did I do? And she looks at me. Tommy's going to love this. She looks at me and says, Knicks in five, huh? And I'm like, well, hold on a second. I said, first of all, they can still win in five.
Right. And it's kind of what you said, too.
Yes.
That they would steal one of these against the Knicks at home.
Thank you, Tiki. See, you know that. I thought, yes, they'll lose a game at home. Now, I'll admit, the way they've lost a game and could have lost two,
mm-hmm.
it's concerning because, yeah, they've been outplayed in seven of eight quarters. I think that's a fair comment to make.
Yes.
And so you wonder, well, is this the trend that's going to continue when this thing goes back to Detroit? Or, and this is what I think the Knicks are going to do, and this is not a popular statement, but I honestly believe it. I think the Knicks took their punch in the face. I think they took their kick in the groin.
Mm.
And I think this group, as much as many of you think they're soft and they're not the same, I think they're going to respond.
Well, I mean,
I think we're going to see the offense that we saw in the regular season in Game 3 and not the garbage we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. But it's also the defense. It's also rotating and getting help and not getting beat man-to-man, one-on-one, as we saw all these guys do. And look, OG had a tough assignment matching Cade Cunningham because he's younger, he's athletic as hell. As soon as he gets that ball heading towards the rim, you just know it's going in. Regardless of how the shot looks, you know it's going in.
He is so crafty.
He's unbelievably crafty. The one, he had one on Josh Hart. It's like the thing barely touched the backboard and went down in the net. Then he had one later against OG. It's like high up on the backboard. How do you defend a guy like that?
It's just
difficult.
Yeah.
And so as much as we want to fault the defense on Cade Cunningham, he's a great player, and he's going to be. We've been saying that for a couple of days now. But it's everybody else that needs to do that job. Well, I mean, there's no reason that Dennis Schroeder should be torching you the way that he does.
Dennis Schroeder is cold-blooded, man.
I understand that.
It's
Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, you know
He's been on 16 teams in the last 4 years.
One thing that will combat Cade Cunningham mm-hmm. is Mitchell Robinson. And I don't necessarily mean defensively. I mean offensive rebound-wise.
Yeah.
Because when you allow the Pistons to beat you on the glass, what are they going to do? They're going to get in transition. And when they get in transition, and we saw this so much last night, Cade Cunningham downhill. And that's why he got to the line a million times.
Right.
That's why the Pistons got to the line a million times. Because they were aggressive.
They had three guys with double-digit rebounds. Three.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Three of their starters had double-digit rebounds. Not even like the bench came in and took care of it. It was three of their starters. They destroyed the Knicks on the board. And again, this comes back to Tibbs. Why do you not have your double big in there? Why is Cat...
5 minutes of Mitch and Cat. Right. Five.
Why is that? You did it in game one.
No,
I
agree.
It kind of unlocks something. Why go away from it in game two?
So if I asked you why the Knicks lost game two, the number one person you would blame would be...
Tom Thibodeau.
Tommy Lugauer, besides yourself, because you deserve a lot of the blame. All you did last night is tweet about the Mets, barely mention the Knicks. Who would
you? You got some nerve saying that. No, we're going to get to that first before
yes.
you ask me a question.
Go ahead.
I can't tweet about my baseball team that's playing the Phillies.
Not when you turned down Young Jet on going to the Met game. And you said, no, I got to watch the Knicks. Meanwhile, you tweet five times about the Mets.
Because I'm watching both games.
Well, you made my son upset. He's like, I don't get it.
This is you. This is Coalition. I know what you're doing. You're trying to poison the minds of Knicks fans by saying Lugie's tweeting about the Mets.
He had to tweet about something that was actually positive.
Ah, that's true.
That's what
Tommy's tweeting about Jesse Winker as opposed to Mitch not being on the floor.
Two hits for Wink.
That's what's going on. Jet still loves you, but he was a little hurt. Anyhow, why'd they lose last night besides you ignoring them?
Number one reason, if I had to pin it down, which there are a million reasons, would be Karl Anthony Towns. Has to be more aggressive, has to demand the basketball. They got to get him the basketball. The biggest issue with the Knicks right now, to me, is chemistry. Their chemistry is
They played all year together!
Their chemistry is off, and guys like OG Anunoby played better when Brunson wasn't there. And you want to give him a pass, you can give him a pass, but he's still the point guard, he's still the facilitator. They, along with Tibbs, they being Kat and JB and Tibbs, they got to figure out a way to make this offense be a little bit more fluent when JB's out
there
pick
and
roll and get Kat the basketball.
It's not about...
He's the second star on the team.
I understand. It's not about giving him a pass. It's about the idea that he has morphed into Melo and he's selfish and he's the reason they lost, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't put blame. It's overstated.
I can't put blame on Brunson.
Dude, he's the only shot creator on this freaking team.
Other than the, whatever you had to go in the locker room to do. Find a better time to change your shoes or whatever the heck you have.
He only missed 16 seconds, by the way. He left the floor at 90 to 84. He comes back at 90 to 86, 16 seconds later. So no harm, no foul. We'll get to your calls coming up. Plus, there is one particular thing I do want to criticize Jalen Brunson for. It's not he's selfish. It's not hero ball. There's something else that scares me about the way Jalen Brunson is acting that we will address. Plus, why a caller who called the show yesterday is now in my head. We'll explain why. We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. I want to say this in a very classy way, because this man is a Hall of Famer. And honestly, I think this man overall did a really good job. But it is over for Lou Lamoriello with the New York Islanders. They have announced that his contract is not being renewed. Mm-hmm. And I look back at Lou's time here. Remember, he ushered in the era where John Tavares left to go to Toronto. He fired Doug Wade. He hires Barry Trotz. And the Islanders had some really good success. I mean, in year two and three of Lou being here, the Islanders were in, however you want to define it, the conference finals in the following year, because of the weirdness, the semifinals in back-to-back years. And then, obviously, 22 was a disaster. COVID had a lot to do with it. In the last couple of years, they've been an underachieving but okay playoff team. And then this year was a disaster. But it was clear that they needed to move on, that the Islanders need to reset. They need to start over. Patrick Waugh, see you later. Lou Lamoriello, see you later. So I think they made the right move, and I'm hopeful for the future. But I do want to be fair. Five postseason appearances, two appearances in which they were so close to getting to a Stanley Cup final. They lost a Game 7 on a shorthanded freaking goal. So I do thank Lou for his time here. And he's a legend in this area for what he did with the Devils and what he did with the Islanders. But Scott Malkin and the Islanders obviously made the right call. It's time to move on. Now, I want to play a little guessing game with you before we get to the calls.
Go ahead.
I do have a criticism of Jalen Brunson. Do you know what it is?
I don't.
Tommy, do you, knowing me and who I am and how I act sometimes, do you know what really annoyed me about Jalen Brunson and would concern me moving forward?
The foul hunting and flopping?
Sort of. So I don't.
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess because you're on the right track. It's not what it is, but I don't mind the hunting because I think if you're crafty and you're smart and it turns into three free throws and you flopped a little bit, I don't have an issue with it. It's not considered cheating if you don't get caught.
It's been happening in the NBA for decades.
100%. Yes. And I want, when he goes to the line for three free throws, if I'm a Knick fan, I'm happy.
Yes.
I don't care if it's legit or not. Here's my issue. So when he got to the free throw line for those three free throws, it was on a play that fouled out Asar Thompson. Do you remember this play?
Yeah.
Do you remember what Jalen Brunson did right as that foul was called?
No, I don't
It's
remember.
Very tiny, but it's a big deal. I'm going to tell you right now. So Asar
this
Thompson
is what's bothering you.
It should bother everybody when I explain it, I think.
Okay.
He's laying on the ground. He gets the call. He puts his hands up to say six. Puts his hands up to say six. He was reminding Asar and the officials, I got him to foul out. And why that concerns me is not that he's taunting. It concerns me that it's in his freaking head. It concerns me. It's one thing to hunt for fouls. It's another thing to be affected by it. And I wonder if because of the contact the Pistons are playing with, because of the fact that he doesn't feel he's getting the right amount of foul calls, which mm-hmm. Tom Thibodeau expressed after the game. So you know Jalen feels that way. It worries me that he's thinking way too much about it. And I don't think it's good to be thinking about it as you're playing. And I think that six call that he put up, watch the replay of it. He's laying there with the sixes, bro.
It's such a fine line what you're saying here, because it's kind of what Lugie said. He's foul hunting, but he's foul hunting because he knows he's not getting the calls that he should get by just playing his regular game. So as a result, he's not playing his regular game. He's taking it to an umpteenth degree to try to get fouls on certain guys. In this case, Asar Thompson. So like, maybe that's, I don't know, somewhat distracting. But I don't think it takes away from what Jalen Brunson is ultimately trying to do.
I don't think
he's thinking about, I got this guy on his fifth foul. Let me get him on a sixth on the next possession.
Immediately upon the foul call, he knew six. Immediately.
So what's wrong with that?
Because it makes me think it's in his head. That's why. Like, to your point, it makes me wonder if it is in his head.
But shouldn't great players be thinking about all levels of advantage over the opponent?
I think you want to think about everything, and you should certainly know, hey, I want to attack this guy. He's in foul trouble. But I think the celebration also of putting up the hands like, I got you. I mean, you fell down to Asar Thompson. Okay. Like, it's a big moment. Don't get me wrong, but really? I don't know. It's a warning sign. And it told me he's thinking way too much about this.
Warning sign? Maybe something to keep an eye on.
So you guys don't agree with me?
If it becomes a distraction from him playing his game, yes. But I don't think that's what's happening yet.
All right.
I agree with you that it's in his head. Excuse me. Where I disagree with you, though, I think he's going to use it to his advantage. Tibbs is already belly aching, so he's going to get the whistle in game three. Philly was very physical with him last year. He got into it with campaign, and he used it as motivation, as fuel, and he had that huge game, that huge series. So I expect Brunson to actually go the opposite. I would be more concerned with the facilitating of the ball and the chemistry than I would of him worrying about the fouls, because that's just how he operates.
He facilitated in the last 4 minutes of this game.
Evan, the chemistry of the team is off. They have a second star on the team.
I'm just responding to what you said because it's been repeated a lot. He's not a facilitator. In the last 4 minutes of the game, I'll walk through it with you.
They've been outplayed 6 of 8 quarters. So I understand the final couple minutes, but I'm talking about through 4 quarters.
Well, and I'm talking about in crunch time, Jalen Brunson was facilitating. Let's just stick to that because that's what you said.
Right, and the
problem about the rest of the game.
And Bridges' shots didn't fall.
Yes.
Okay.
And Mikal Bridges was set up because Jalen Brunson was facilitating.
They also didn't get their second star involved in the game. Where's OG Anunoby? He was Kawhi Leonard when Brunson wasn't out there. He had 10 points last night.
I'm just saying, in the final 4 minutes of this game, I think this is a big misnomer. It's just get repeated over and over again. I saw a guy who did actually a really good job facilitating.
But their chemistry isn't there. It hasn't been there for a while. This team in the first half was an offensive juggernaut, and really down the stretch, you want to tell me guys were out. Anunoby was out. Brunson was out. And it takes time to build chemistry, but it's on the coach, it's on Brunson, it's on a lot of them. But
I get all that. I'm just not clicking
like a well-oiled machine.
I get that. You're going to something else. I get that. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just pointing out in the last 4 minutes, I think it's unfair criticism to say Jalen Brunson wasn't a facilitator.
Okay, so your original point, I think Brunson will use it as fuel, and I think he should have his head coach do the bidding, which he did after the game. Don't put up, you know, 6 fingers. Let the coach cry, because that's what the NBA
Absolutely.
Is. You cry, you'll get the whistle.
Absolutely. It is very important for coaches to cry like babies after games.
Yes.
I'm not even joking.
Huge. It's part of the game. Phil Jackson invented it.
No, it's maddening. That's why you just ignore it.
Well,
meaning as a fan.
I just remember last year. When Rick Carlisle did this,
of course,
it was what a baby. But remember what I told you about why Rick Carlisle was doing it. I said it's genius. You have to do it. It's exactly what Tommy just said,
it's part of this job description, especially in the postseason. Because in the postseason, the refs don't want to call Jack,
right? And remember, because we had an argument about this last year. Because I said to you, it's brilliant. It's going to make a difference. And you're like, how is it going to make a difference?
Yeah.
I said sometimes it does. And I think, and usually it's home road, so this is a little unique, because Carlisle was bitching after the 2 games at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And I defended him, saying, look, I'm not defending if it's right or wrong in terms of call. Same thing here with Tom Thibodeau. I'm not going to break down every foul. We can if you want. That's not the point. The point is, it is smart as a head coach to put the officials on blast to try to get, even if it's one extra whistle, put it in their heads. And Carlisle did that last year. It was smart, even though you guys mocked him. And I'd say the same thing here with Tom Thibodeau. Mm. It's very, very smart because that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I got to check the tape on you, Lugie. Did you mock Carlisle
or did you defend him? I think I called him.
I definitely did.
I called him a wuss. I think I said the Pacers were jokers and I said the series will be over soon. Now, I didn't put into account that attrition would, you know,
No. Forget that. Forget that. Did you, so you made fun of Carlisle?
Yeah, I could actually bring up the tweet. I have it somewhere.
I didn't even know there was a tweet.
Oh,
this
no, I quote tweeted it something. I'll get it to you in like a minute.
So what's your opinion on Thibodeau, though?
No, it's gamesmanship. Well, it's my coach doing it now. But you know what? Honestly, if this is the way they play, like, this is part of Brunson's game. He does foul hunt. He does flop. He does do the flare where the head goes up. You know what I mean? Like, he does that's part of his game.
I respect you.
So you need
Tommy,
the whistle.
Tommy doesn't even want to play the game. He's like, no. I'm a hypocrite. What do you want from me?
Well, how am I a hypocrite?
It's my team
now.
He's
a fan.
How am I a hypocrite?
I don't even fault you, Tommy.
Yeah, you just admitted it. Why
you
are
want
you
me to stand up and applaud an opposing head coach for doing something that I would want my head coach to do? I would not do. That's not part of what I would do.
No,
are you
just
kidding me?
You admit that that's smart, like I did. Like I did last year and I'm doing now. Rick Carlisle was smart to call out the officials.
But
Tom Thibodeau is smart.
You were saying that as an IBO. You want me to be an IBO here?
Yeah.
As an IBO, then I'll tip my cap.
There you go.
That was smart.
There you go. Well, we'll take a listen to Tom Thibodeau crying like a baby coming up in a couple minutes. But let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Nick in Jackson Heights. What's up, Nick?
Evan Kiki, how you doing, gentlemen? Great show.
Thank you, man.
What's up?
As always, listen, long time fan since the first championships, and I have to say it is on Thibodeau, Kiki. You're right. Only because they didn't take good shots. They didn't take second shots. They weren't sharing the ball. They didn't create space. They didn't help Brunson help them even more. So I think it's a whole team fundamental that was lacking yesterday.
No,
and you
definitely
know what? Professional players don't play to lose, right, Kiki?
No, of
professional
not
players don't play to lose. These guys weren't playing to lose. Mikal Bridges played great all year, great defense. You miss one or two shots, it happens. But I think game three will be the pivotal game.
No, you're right, because the momentum obviously can shift if you steal one on the road. We all know that. And the Pistons kind of did that. But I'm trying to think of what he's saying. He's saying if you're playing to lose, playing not to lose. I don't think the Knicks would have had a chance to play not to lose in this series so far, because they get down early, and then it's a claw back, and
right,
it's a grind
they
back.
They have to get desperate to get back in the game, and both days they were in position to win.
Yeah, and it's just, and then you end up getting these extra minutes having to, OG's got to, I mean, what did he play, 44? Played basically almost the whole game? And he has to because Cade Cunningham plays almost the whole game. And who else is gonna check him or at least body him and make him feel disrupted? So OG gets exhausted. So by the end of the game, OG can't shoot.
Mm.
So it just, like, they're at a little bit of a disadvantage because of the physicality of the Pistons. And so the only way to combat that, I would say, is you got to be smarter in how you plan your offense. And it felt like for a lot of this game, they didn't have much of a plan on
offense. It was unimaginative dribble.
Yes.
That's basically what it was, and that is on the head coach. Dante's in East Brunswick. What's up, Dante?
What's up, Dante?
Hey, guys. Listen, I think we could blame Thibodeau. We could blame Brunson. But the main guy, obviously, is Cat, and his unaggressiveness, even going back to the Minnesota days in the playoffs. He had a game, a similar game, to look at the Western Conference Finals last year, where he had 10 points. He goes missing sometimes. And it's one thing to be unaggressive, you know, shooting the ball. But even on the boards, he's unaggressive.
Yeah.
We're in the bonus with 7 minutes left. And Josh Hart and OG Anunoby, they got to the free throw line on loose ball fouls because at least they're going to the glass. To finish with 6 rebounds is just, that's one thing that you can control, your effort.
It's no.
Six
and, rebounds. And by the way, Dante, it's anti what he's been all season. All season, he lived in the paint.
And the fact that he got one touch in the post
right
in the entire fourth quarter is inexcusable. And Dante is right. 6 minutes in, they're in the bonus.
Yeah.
You got to take advantage
right
of that.
Just go live in the paint down there. Because even if there's nothing drawn up for you, get out of it, obviously, before the 3 second, which they don't call anymore. But you know what I mean. Live down there. Get rebounds. Get extra shot attempts. And this is exactly why what's his name? Butler. Jimmy Butler called him soft in Minnesota because he wouldn't go down there. You got just be physical. You are bigger than almost everybody that's gonna step into that area. Go be physical. And if he doesn't learn that, they're gonna. I mean, they might lose this series. They probably will get through it, but they're not gonna stand a chance against the Boston Celtics.
Well, don't even think about the Boston Celtics. That'd be my advice. It's one series at a time.
Of course it is.
I can promise you this. They're not losing this series. I may not be right about five, but they're not. JR in Somerville knows what I'm talking about. Knicks ain't losing this series.
They got out-rebounded by 14.
Yeah.
What up, dude?
He knows.
What's going on? All right.
JR.
Let's talk about touches real quick. Let's talk about touches. Last night, the Villanova boys, Brunson, 104 touches. Hart, 71 touches. Bridges, 68. Everybody else, Anunoby, 38, Towns, 36, and Bridges. I already talked about Bridges. Anyway,
right. The Villanova boys. You're saying Jay Wright is actually coaching his team already.
Well, the whole selfish thing about Brunson is that, you know, it looks like he is selfish, but it's because his teammates can't create. Josh Hart can't have 71 touches with that type of shot profile.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him, but he doesn't have the confidence to step into a three-pointer. In this league, that's not going to work out. So you can blame Thibodeau all you want. I don't know what happened to Hart regarding the three-pointer.
At least he got regarding to the line.
Towns,
right, go ahead.
Well, it's not enough, but regarding Towns, once again, I'm not going to go crazy about Thibodeau on this one. This guy, see, there's a defense in the NBA that occurs in the playoffs. It's called, you know, early flood, whatever it may be. It's basically when they pack everything in and they flood the side of the floor. And Towns saw that three times and he got scared. He got into the corner. I need to see that guy. Yeah, we talk about Ihart and missing Ihart. What Ihart did is he provided brick wall screens at the top.
Yes.
And he played what we call blind pig, whatever. Anyways, that's where Towns needs to get the touches, okay?
Right.
He needs to get Brunson free, provide a screen, and then they work off of that downhill. Knicks were the number one team on pick and roll in the whole league.
And why didn't they run it?
But they ran it with Josh Hart.
Yeah, but they didn't run it with Cat and Jalen.
That's what I mean.
And all year long, he's right. They were so good. That was one of their biggest offensive threats, was running pick and pops, pick and rolls with Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. And we didn't see it in the fourth quarter.
Didn't see it.
And you're right. We saw it with Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Who,
let's
face it,
makes no sense. He's not going to shoot. If so, the pop, he's not shooting in the roll. I guess he did better in the roll in the second half because he got six free throws in this game. So, like, he at least got to the line a little bit, but he's not your primary scorer.
But a part of why Josh got to the line was grabbing a rebound, getting fouled, right, and going to the line on loose ball fouls because they were in the bonus. It wasn't exactly him attacking the paint.
No.
I mean, he's not an offensive force. But the lack of not only, there's so many things about the lack of involving Cat in the second half of this game, which we saw warning signs all year off.
Yeah.
And I brought this up to you 2 months ago, but it was minor because, you know, Jalen would make his shots, the Knicks would win. That's no big deal. It's not a big deal. And here we are in game two of the postseason, and he took zero shots in the fourth quarter, barely sniffed the basketball. They're not running any pick and rolls involving the two of them. And like I said, he's such a liability defensively,
yep,
even though he made one good play on Cade with about 4.5 minutes to go, altered a shot, grabbed the big rebound. Great. That's one moment. He's such a liability for the most part defensively that if he's going to do nothing offensively, he shouldn't even be on the floor.
Yeah.
No, he shouldn't be out there.
Well, it's hard to do that because he is. I mean, what did he take, three or four three-pointers? He didn't shoot from three-point range. He didn't take a free throw attempt.
But because he wasn't doing anything offensively, so why is he out there then, is my point.
I mean, because he has to be.
Yeah, but he's a liar. One of the biggest issues the Knicks have.
What are you going to put the guy making $55 million on the bench?
You said something earlier. I'm going to counter that.
Go ahead.
You said we got to stop thinking about Mikal Bridges and the picks you gave up. Well, when it's NBA playoff basketball, stop giving a crap about how much a guy makes.
Okay, so you're going to throw Mitch out there?
What? No, I'm telling you right now. Karl Anthony Towns should be a factor offensively.
Of course.
He should be on the floor.
Of course.
He's not, get him off the floor because he's useless.
In exchange for who?
Mitchell Robinson.
So where are you scoring then?
Well, you're not scoring with Cat anyway, bro. Cat's not even getting the ball.
That just can't happen. I just can't see that.
You know
ever
what, Mitch?
Happen.
You know how you're scoring with Mitch on the floor compared to Cat? I'm not even kidding. Grabbing an offensive rebound.
Something
Cat couldn't even dream about doing.
Yes.
So that's the problem. I'm not suggesting you should bench him. I'm saying if he's going to be a non-factor offensively, why is he here?
They both need to be on the floor, Mitch and Cat.
I know, and they only did 4.5 minutes of that. That means Josh Hart should be on the bench.
When Tobias Harris is guarding you, you have to demand the ball in the post if you're Cat. And if he's not demanding the ball, the coach has to draw a pick and roll so he could get, you know, 3-point shots.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
And why the hell is Campaign only playing 4 friggin' minutes? Let him be the point guard. Let Jalen Brunson be the off guard. Put Josh Hart on the bench and have two of your bigs out there. That's coaching malpractice.
I think what happened with Campaign is this, and it's stupid, and I agree with you, but it's also like not the end of the world kind of stuff. It's like the bigger issue is Cat. The bigger issue is Bridges not making shots. But here's what happened with Tom Thibodeau. Get inside that brain of his. He goes to Campaign. He quickly gets into foul trouble, obviously. Commits 3 fouls in 4.5 minutes.
Yep.
And then it was like, I'm putting him away. I'm not going to even say. I forgot like he's even on the roster.
Right.
And maybe he thought Campaign didn't fit the physicality of the game and what this series is becoming, but because he was such a force offensively in game one and was the reason they won, I think that you should have at least given him that look in the second half of the game, because even though he committed 3 fouls in 4.5 minutes, I don't know if you know this, there's a rule in the NBA. You're allowed 6. Jalen Brunson put those fingers in the sky. So you still have that ability to get Cam out there and see if he can get something out of him offensively.
Cam is not afraid to take and make big shots, so I want him on the floor at the end of the game.
Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, pleasure to talk to you guys again. Listen, I'm going to do my best impression of Omar in Brooklyn right now. Hopefully you guys will indulge me.
Sure.
Listen, Evan, I definitely agree with you. Brunson is the last person you want to blame. First of all, when you're a head coach, and Tibbs also, when you're a head coach, you play to your team's strength. The guy's the number one clutch player and killer on the planet. So in those moments, it has to go through him. Secondly, I'm not blaming Tibbs because the other guy, it's not his fault, it's not Brunson's fault that the other guys don't have balls and are hiding from the ball and running away. You don't force it to those guys because they're going to be ineffective in those situations because they don't want the goddamn rock. So I'm not blaming Brunson or Thibodeau. And the other thing is, I hate the hate, right? Excuse the pun, but I hate the hate for Tibbs because we got a coach in this town who's a whole lot worse, yet people kiss his ass. His name is Brian Daboll, and he should be gone anytime before Tibbs.
How did you combine?
How'd you, like, swerve over there?
That was masterful by Ray to shoehorn that in. Well played.
It was only going to be Brian Daboll, because who else you have any ire for?
Aaron Boone takes some ire in this town.
They were in the World Series last year.
Are you new around here? It doesn't change anything.
But that's just mindless. You said dribble? This is mindless drivel.
Yes.
It's like Aaron Boone was in the World Series. Chill out. They were constantly in the postseason. Give me a team that wins three games a year, then you can have some issues with them.
Where I disagree with Ray is this. Fair enough. All right. Tom Thibodeau is the head coach of the team. If you have a broken offense, if you have a $50 million a year player
who can't takes no shots,
that's
5 minutes in the third quarter.
Well, that's on the head coach.
100%.
Like, we were talking earlier to start the show, who do you blame? And obviously, there's a big three of blame. To me, it's not Jalen Brunson. I made that very clear. Mm-hmm. It's Mikal Bridges, who missed open looks that could have changed the game. That's obvious. Even though the rest of his game, I thought he played reasonably well. It's Cat for disappearing. And it's the head coach who's the architect of everything.
Agreed.
That's where you have to look. And it needs to be better. Now, speaking of some of the criticism that Jalen Brunson has faced over the last 12 hours, it all started with a random phone call yesterday. And I have to admit, I love our callers. I never thought I would spend all night and all morning thinking about one particular call and how he basically told the future of how some Knicks fans would feel. We'll let you take a listen to the call coming up, plus Tom Thibodeau crying about the officials, and more of your calls at 888-808-1019.